Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to God's Bishops of Divine Guidance Ministries. Our mission in this ministry is to repair the breach in the walls of the body of Christ where failed leadership with poor character and judgment have caused the breach and failed the body. We believe, as Scripture states in Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Well, I'm Archbishop Bernadine Turner, your host this morning, welcoming you, our listeners and supporters, thanking you for joining us again on today. It's been a while since I've spoken with you. It's not that the Holy Spirit has not been with me, but sometimes we have to get out into the fields and the highways and byways and see what it is that is causing these breaches, that so that we can effectively go into prayer and supplication, letting our request be known unto God the Father through the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ, who sits at his right hand, petitioning for us that we may make a difference in this world. So I've been on a journey. You know I do this thing all the time. But I want you to understand today that we are still in warfare. You need to understand that this journey is not a peaceful one that is not interrupted on a constant basis, that the enemy is forever present. Remember, the Word of God says that even when Jesus was tried, when the devil came to him, he gave him certain temptations, and Christ had to actually pass each one of those tests before he would leave. But then the Word of God says that the devil stood off from him for a period of time to see another opportune time to come back to Christ to do the same identical thing that he did before. In other words, the devil is going to constantly be hammering you. He's going to be hammering you forever and a day, and it's never going to go away. So I need you to know something here. We're talking about leadership fallout that slaughters the body. Now, can't you see, you know, I gave a description this morning that basically says this. Have you looked around you lately? Have you seen? Don't you get it? The body is being destroyed right before your eyes, and you yet want to still play church. What is it going to take? The Holy Spirit is on the move today, so let's catch it if you can. We're talking about the enemy destroying us. And so what it is that is within us that he keeps bringing out. So if you are, let's put it this way, many of us in the body have a deliverance church. I don't even know a minister that really doesn't have a deliverance ministry of some kind. He can say he's just going out there and preach what the Word of God says, whatever, but if he's not there to set the captive free, which means deliverance, okay? See, the Word of God tells us that we're supposed to set the captives free. We are not the ones who are walking around that are free. We're supposed to go get the ones who are bound, those who are chained, those who are bound to Satan's works, those who have a lot, but that really don't want to be there, okay, really don't want to be there. Now, see, some people want to be in the mess they're in. And we need to understand that's a whole different ball of wax. But we as Christians want to go get the lost sheep, okay? Because Jesus left the 99 to go get that last one, okay, that was lost. And that's our job, to go get the lost who really want to be returned to God, all right? So let's talk about deliverance for a second. Deliverance means to set free. It's a rescuing, okay? The state of being rescued or set free. So if you have a deliverance ministry, which is what you're supposed to have, we're supposed to be setting the captives free. Now, if you're sent out, and remember, he sent us out two by two. If you're sent out to set the captive free, how in the world can we deliver someone if you house the same in infirmity. Don't you get it? You, if you are a person, you know, and I'm about to run out of my skin. I just have to tell you the truth. I'm just about to just run out of this room. I need to explain to you, we're not getting it. We're not understanding that this is not a thing where we're supposed to be building houses and buying cars and wearing fine clothing and having jewelry. And it's nothing wrong with any of that, okay, because it comes with the territory if you put God first. But that should not be our focus. We're not supposed to be building huge edifices. See, that's why they had that little 20 to 50 people or 10 people or whatever in each house, and someone was over them until it was time to move on to another group and start a church home there. See, all these big edifices breed certain things, okay, that are not supposed to be, and then we get it twisted by turning around and having cults set up, because I was just in a cult situation last week. I'm telling you, the filthiness and the deceit that goes on in the body of Christ, if we don't purge ourselves, we're going to get swallowed up. We have got to purge ourselves from this filth. We have got to purge ourselves and get focused on what we're supposed to be doing. If you are a leader, you are supposed to be doing this. And even if you're not a leader, God says we're supposed to witness one to another. We're supposed to get our neighbor and teach our neighbor about this thing. You can't leave it all up to the leadership, because as you can see, look around, leadership falls on a daily basis, week by week, month by month. It is incredible, the falling away of leadership in Christ. You know, and I'm not trying to point a finger. I need you to know that also, because God's word tells us that we're not to point fingers one to another, but we still have to scrutinize. We still have to see what the enemy sees before us. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, okay? How can we deliver someone if you house the same infirmity, okay? Can Beelzebub cast out Beelzebub? I don't think so. So if you're housing that, and let's say that you have built a mega ministry, and let's say that thing is still residing in you because you have never learned to purge the thing. Let me tell you something else, too, while I'm at it. We have followed the traditions of men so long that we're stupid. See, remember in the country, the old minister that had four or five or six churches, sometimes two churches, in order to make his quota, in order to have a living, okay, living on the collection plate. And then, of course, after he would preach, one of the members would take him to his to their home. And when they got to the home, that they had to feed him, okay, and take care of him if he didn't have any place else to go. And then he went home and back on the road, so he'd have sustained himself enough so that he can get where he had to go, enough to get home. And I need to say this to you. When we deal with these types of situations, remember that minister, sometimes we get caught up in the families that were there, and next thing you know, they weren't listening to the husbands or to the fathers of the household. Even if they were God-fearing men, they would listen to the minister. But yet the minister may have had an eye for the mother of the house or for one of the daughters of the house. And then he started going with the mother of the house, the daughter of the house, and then he went from place to place distributing his own children, his own seed. Do you realize that that's part of ingrained tradition? That the ministers, didn't you see that young men looked at that and they thought that that was wonderful, that a man got an opportunity to go into people's homes and have their wives and children or their sons or whatever their infirmity or their impurity was, and then they continued to grow their churches and preach the word of God, but then would not live up to the standard in which they preached? Don't you understand what that did to our communities? Don't you understand what that did to our family members? Don't you understand that when the people of God saw this, they accepted that? Well, don't say anything about the pastor, because the pastor this and the pastor that. No, that pastor should have been exposed, and that's why the Lord is exposing. Let me take you to a scripture here. Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit. Let me take you to the scripture, 1 Corinthians, okay? And let's go to chapter 4. So then let us, apostles, okay, those chosen ones be looked upon as ministering servants of Christ and stewards, in other words, trustees of the mysteries, the secret purposes of God. See, we're entrusted to these mysteries of God because we know them. So if we know them and we understand the mysteries, then what is the problem that we can't live those things? What is the problem that we get so weary in well-doing that we turn back to our vomit? You understand? That we house ourselves in scrupulous and unholy places, dealing with unholy people. Oh, Lord, don't have let me finish reading. I get so wound up with this sin because this thing is intrinsic in my spirit, and I know without a doubt what I'm talking about, and I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm trying to raise you up. I'm trying to get you to see what the enemy's coming to destroy. He's coming not just to destroy you, but for the body of Christ. And if you call yourself a minister in the Word of God, and you call yourself seeking his face, then you need to turn from your wickedness. And if you can't turn from your wickedness, you need to go somewhere and purge yourself and sit your behind down until you can do that. Okay? You need to do that. And you need to fast and purge yourself and seek his face. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because maybe you've gotten too comfortable. Let me read a scripture that tells you how comfortable you get. He says, you behave as if you are already filled and think you have enough. You are full and content, feeling no need of anything more. That's when it comes in. That's when that old stuff that's been buried down within you that you never did purge in the beginning. Do you hear me? See, you don't have any business, you have no business delivering anybody from homosexuality, from lying, from stealing, from self-righteousness. You don't have any business doing any of that until you have purged yourself of these things. How can you be an example if you're in the filth yourself? Do you understand? In other words, if you're in the well, how can you pull anybody out? You have to be outside of the well on top of the situation with a rope and a situation that can haul somebody up out of something. Okay? You can't pull anybody up out of something if you're down in that same mess yourself. Don't you get it? And if it's down inside of you, if you have not been properly delivered, see, there's a laying on of hands, but who laid hands on you? Do you hear what I'm saying? That's why you have to be careful. No, don't let anybody just lay hands on you. You understand what I'm saying? Don't let anybody touch you, because when they touch you, they may be transferring their spirit onto you, okay? And when you are touched by that thing starts welling up inside of you, and then you start seeing things that you maybe didn't see before. And let me tell you, there's very few of us, because of the way the body of Christ has snuffed this thing and not exposed the, because see, once you expose something, people get fearful. Do you hear what I'm saying? People start ducking and running for cover, baby. When you start exposing the truth, the thing that is this unholy and unclean in a person, everybody starts running for cover. Let me tell you something. This thing that has happened here recently with one of our high ministers, this wasn't the first time. He should have known when the attack came about the taxes, that you're not paying taxes, that something was getting ready to come down the pike. Something was coming. He should have seen that thing. A prophet in his church should have told him, if you don't stop what you're doing and stop dealing with these people the way you do, why do you think the Lord sends you out two by two so that there'll be another witness? You don't counsel people. You don't bring, if God didn't give you sons for you to run around and talk about, these are your godly sons, these are the sons that God gave you to train, hey, he gave you all people to train. He didn't specify. Okay? So if he didn't give you birth sons, you have no business taking somebody else's sons under your wing. Do you hear what I'm saying? And then when you counsel them with other people in the room with you, other ministers. Do you hear what I'm saying? Male and female. So that you don't have, there will not be any reason or any recourse for someone to come against you if what they're saying is not true. There's a way that's mighty sweet, according to God's word. And didn't he say to confess your sins one to another? Okay, openly. So do that even in private, if it's a private setting, a private situation where you don't want to maim or humiliate the person that is bound, okay? And then there's deliverance services. Do you understand? You can have private deliverance service with ministers that are on the same accord with you if you live holy. Don't have people in your employ and under you who are not holy supposedly handling your people. And don't let the money changers that you have put placed over your money to do that, because that's not their job. They're not in that area. Let the money changers stay in the money changing area. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you get ready to deliver people, you've got to have delivered people delivering people and laying hands on. Come on now. I kid you not. You know, I'm upset with this thing because it rips at every part of the whole body of Christ. It didn't only dismantle you. It didn't only shame you. It shamed all of us. I'm ashamed. I made a shame. I made a spectacle, and I resent that. Why? Because I'm living a holy life. I'm not saying I'm perfect, okay? But I'm moving toward perfection on a daily basis. And then, and the Word of God tells us not to get puffed up, okay? Let's go to the fourth chapter of the First Corinthians. And let's go to verse 6 where it's a drop down. It says that none of you may be puffed up and inflated with pride and boast in favor and one minister and teacher against another. See, I'm not against the ministers of the body of Christ. I'm here to help. But if you're not listening, if you think you're too much to tune in and to listen to the godly wisdom of a godly woman, then you've got an issue. If you think only men can minister, well, look what's going on with the men. Why do you think he's raised up women that can be chaste, women that can, and I don't care about my past. My past is just that, my past. That's not my present, and it's not my future. Do you understand? I'm not interested in remarrying. I'm not interested in somebody sharing a bed with me. I could care less. I want to share my bed with my Bible. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I've got a work to do, and a workman that shall not be made ashamed. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can't make the gospel ashamed. Before I make God ashamed, I'll get out of the ministry. And some of you need to do that and set yourself aside if you're not seeking his face correctly. If you are brought up in pride, if you have allowed yourself to be lifted up unto the vanities of vanities. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're killing us. You're killing us with this wickedness and this foolishness. You know, and I had a situation where I went to a conference, and it was supposed to have been a deliverance conference for ministers. Okay, and it wasn't none of the heavy hitters. Sometimes you need to go and leave the heavy hitters and go out to the highways and byways and see what the small ministers are doing and what they're saying. Okay, and to find out if there's a move of God beyond that, the next people that are getting ready to be brought up. And guess what I found? The same mess in that situation. I was so daggone disgusted. I could just close up shop. Do you understand what I'm saying? But God says that be not dismayed, okay? And don't be upset at the things that I see. Why? Because I'm a prophet, I'm a prophetess. I'm supposed to see. But that means that I'm supposed to go and fast and pray for these people. Now, I was in a situation, and a man said that he had been delivered, but yet he was all over the place. He was just popping and flipping his hair and popping his fingers and snapping and talking about that, and sister, I'm coming right where you are, and this, that, and the other, and saying what, and imitating what he saw, and just flaming all over the place. And I sat there and I watched it and I prayed and I watched and I prayed and I saw it. Lord, he said, claims he's delivered. I don't see any evidence of the deliverance. I need you to know that all this residue of sin must be purged, not to return. And then when I was given an opportunity at the end, after everybody else had said what they had to say, the microphone was handed to me. And I stood up and I said, man of God, you say you are a bishop. In Louisiana, we have bishops here. When I first got here, that are in jail for and in prison for life. Do you hear me? For molestation of young people, okay, and had been doing it for years. Do you understand? And his church is suffering. Now he's trying to run a church from prison. How the heck you going to run a church from prison when you've been locked up for the very thing that you're supposed to be preaching against? You know, and for those people sitting there holding church until he returns when they've already said he's not going to, it's totally ludicrous. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Look at the stupidness and the foolishness. We're looking like imbeciles to the world. We have no validity to us whatsoever. I'm appalled. I'm appalled at that. I'm appalled at that statement. Who said that that's what you were supposed to do? Did God tell you to do that? Do you understand? Yeah, Paul went to prison, but what did Paul go to prison for? Think about it. And what did you go for? Come on now. We've got to rise above this foolishness and stop this stupidness. This stupidity is killing us. It is rending us. It's slaughtering us. We're like sheep going to the slaughter. Okay? And that's not, we're supposed to be ruling and reigning. We're supposed to be practicing everything that God told us right now, because when he comes, he's coming for a church without spot or blemish. How can he come for a church when we're being slaughtered by the tons, by the millions, by the billions? Come on now. It's enough of this foolishness. If you have a deliverance ministry, get delivered before you tell another soul anything. Thus saith the Lord, said. Stop this foolishness and get on your knees and pray and get purged. And stop embarrassing the body of Christ. Stop maiming us. It's enough that the world calls us stupid and foolish and say that we're ignorant and we're out there like Looney Tunes worshiping something that's never going to come. Don't you understand? Don't you get it? Don't you fear God? How dare you continue to stay in these pulpits and pull the shenanigans that you do on a daily basis? How dare you do that? I come against you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I'm sick of praying for you with your foolishness. God forbid. You know, you pray and you talk and you preach and you teach, and those of us who live holy are like lights under a mantle. No one sees us. No one calls us to come preach. Why? Because we live in something. The body of Christ is so filthy, it's so polluted, and it's so damnable. Who would want to be saved into that? Saved unto what? Come on now. Get your head on straight. Stop this foolish talking. Stop this foolishness. So then the word of God says this about you being prideful. For who separates you from the others as a fraction leader? Who makes you superior and sets you apart from another, giving you the preeminence? In other words, preeminence means to make you superior. Who made you superior? Okay? What of you that was not given to you? In other words, God gave you what you have to preach. You didn't get that of yourself. Okay? If then you received it, if you received it from someone, who do you boast as if you had not received but had gained it by your own effects, your own efforts? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So if you got all this and you all that in a bag of chips, you didn't get that of yourself. You went into the Word of God and you read the Word of God, and the Word of God became rhema in your spirit, and then you began to speak that word because it came out of your heart. So how can that sin and the stuff that you preach against, or are you preaching against it? Or are you just saying God is love? God is love. You know, I'm so sick of God is love, hearing God is love. Don't you know God is love? Can't you look around? Can't you see that God loved us and he sent his only begotten son to save us from our wretchedness? Well, then when are you going to take hold of what he said? When are you going to walk in the deliverance that he's made available to you? You have to walk in that thing, okay? Then he goes on to say this. He says, if you behave as if you are already filled and that you think enough that you are full and content, he says you feel no need of anything more. Already you have become rich in spiritual gifts and graces. And then he says, for it seems to me that God has made an exhibit of us apostles, exposing us to view, last of all, like men
in a triumphal procession who are sentenced to death and displayed in the end of the line. For we have become a spectacle to the world, a show in the world's amphitheater. In other words, the world is an amphitheater, and everybody plays a part, my love. Didn't you get it? Don't you know that the angels are sitting up high looking at you and everything that you do? Don't you realize reports are being given back to God? Okay, do you know that Christ sits at the right hand of God seeing all that you do? You're not fooling anybody. You've gone underground to man, but you have not gone underground to God. He sees you, and he still allows you. You're living in that grace that he allows. You're living in that grace. But after a point in time, that grace, okay, that's supposed to be sufficient for you, okay, is going to pass away. All right? And then where will you be? Come on now, you need to get to this thing. Stop abusing grace. Stop abusing God's unmerited favor because you didn't earn it. There's nothing in you that's good, okay? And every opportunity you have, you bring damnation unto your own stupid self. Get to it. Then he says this, for we have become a spectacle to the world, a show in the world's amphitheater with both men and angels as spectators. Okay, don't you get it? You're a spectator. They're spectators. They're sitting up watching you, everything that you do. So when you think you got it all going on, you got a flood going on, you off in your limousine, and you're going and picking up this one and picking up that one and bringing them to do this and to do that, God is sitting there watching everything that you do. Don't you fear God? Is this just a money-making thing for you? Is that what it is for you? I need you to understand that God is not mocked. Okay, then it says this in chapter 5. It is annually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, impurity of a sort that is condemned and does not occur even among the heathen. Okay, so in other words, the word of God is saying here that even the heathen have principles. Do you understand? Even the heathen have principles. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with you? Would you stop your foolishness? And don't get upset and turn me off. The bottom line is this. You're going to come to a point where God's grace is not going to be sufficient anymore. Okay? Thus saith the Lord said. He's getting sick and tired of being sick and tired of his body being ramshacked. Okay? Now let's get delivered and let's get set free. Deliverance means to set free. Rescuing the state of being rescued. Okay, we're supposed to be rescued from this thing that when we were young. Many people were touched. I guarantee you, most people were touched. From what I can see, most people were touched. Okay, in some way. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So if most people have been touched, don't you know that that thing has been in you? And all the enemy has to do is flint around something that looks appealing to the eye before you back off into it, okay? Or if you've never been into it, that it rises. That's why they say latent bulldaggers, latent homosexuals. That's why they say latent, because it's been residing in you. It just, you know, you have just kept it at bay, okay? But you have to purge yourself. Even if it's lying, you still have to purge yourself if you've been a liar all your life. Okay, if you grew up around liars, that thing is in you to lie. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You have to purge yourself. You have to come from among it. You have to stop allowing it to take hold of you. Purge means to cause the bowels to be evacuated, to remove undesirable elements from a person, to clear it. Okay? That's what purge means. It means to purify. And purify is to make pure by removing impurities, to free from guilt or sin, to free from corrupting elements. You see, those things that you allow that stay in you, do you understand? You have to let the Holy Spirit do it. You can't do it. It's impossible for you to do. That's what. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then I can understand why nothing is happening for you. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit does that. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit convicts. It stops you dead in your tracks. It makes you pay attention, heads up. You cannot do this and keep God's spirit within you. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It is an impossibility for holiness to reside with uncleanness. It's an impossibility to that have for that happening. That's why it says, what does light have to do with darkness? They're opposite ends of the spectrum. Don't you get it? They can't reside in the same place. For when light comes in, darkness has to flee. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Can you get this? Do you understand me? Am I making it plain enough? I'm telling you, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Now, the Word of God says that we need to clean ourselves up. In other words, clean means to free from imperfections. Yes, we all have imperfections, but to clean means to free us from imperfections. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Okay? It means fresh, not soiled. Okay? Fresh, not soiled. Pure, chastened. Okay? Then it says, pure without moral defilement. Pure is without moral defilement. Okay? You can't allow your body to be defiled. You can't allow your mind to become polluted and defiled. Okay? Remove the rubbish. In other words, clean means to remove the rubbish from us completely. Clean means to do it completely. Because it's not clean if there's any residue left. That's what I spoke into that person that was at that conference. I said, you have a residue of your former. I said, you have said that you have witnessed that you are no longer in that lifestyle, okay? And that's not for me to know or not know. That's for you to know. Do you understand? Because God said for you to be holy as he's holy, okay? I've done my job and my work. Now it's up to you to do your job and your work. And I spoke that into him, and I said, if you are living a chaste lifestyle and you are married, your wife is sitting right next to you, okay, and you have sons, you have children, okay? So now that you have confessed your sins before the brethren, and we all know that this was your former lifestyle, the Holy Spirit said, thus saith the Lord, now walk like a man, act like a man, speak like a man, think like a man, and put aside those frivolous folly things that you did, like snapping and flicking your hair and running around a room and running into men's faces and making statements to women like you did me by saying that I noticed when you walked in the room, all the men had lust in their hearts after you. What a thing to say. Because God says only he knows the hearts of a man. So how did you discern that those were lustful looks? Maybe they smiled at me knowing that here is a woman of God, and I can see that she's a holy, chaste woman of God by her appearance. Maybe the light that was within me shone so brightly, maybe that was not lust that they were seeing. Maybe that was the Holy Spirit that they were seeing. Thus saith the Lord said. So you assume that it was lust, because all men's eyes turn toward me, okay? So you're still thinking, you still have thinking from your former lifestyle. So be purged of that lifestyle. Cast yourself onto a fast and pray and purge yourself until that spirit of homosexuality's residue has left you. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? That's what you have to do. You have to fast in it, and however long it takes, get to it, however long it takes, but don't get off your knees and stop your fast until you no longer have that residue of whatever it is that your sin besets you. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? That's how you do it. And then stay in the Word. And then keep your eyes from that. And then the Word of God goes on to say this to you. He says, here's Corinthians 5, let's go to 6. It says, about the condition of your church, your boasting is not good indeed, as is most unseemingly and entirely out of place. Do you not know that just a little leaven will ferment the whole lump of dough? Purge, clean out the old leaven, that you may be fresh, new dough, still uncontaminated, okay, as you are for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. So see, God already made the sacrifice, and what you need to do is purge yourself. That's the sacrifice you need to make. Purge yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Stop being in denial that it's okay for you to have those residues of your former life. It is not okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I can't remarry, because I can't allow that old man to drudge back up. And those old feelings and those old situations and those old desires, I can't afford it. Why? Because my eyes fixed on the prize. And that's just, I'm running to it as fast as I can and as hard as I can. Do you hear what I'm saying? God be my witness. Do you hear me? Now I need to say this to you. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with all leaven, nor with leaven of vice and malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of purity, nobility, honor, and sincerity, and unadulterated truth. It's got to be the unadulterated truth. See, I had a minister say to me, now there's your truth and my truth. I said, wait a minute, hold up, brother. No such animal. Your truth and my truth. Wait a minute. You need to get the truth. Truth is what it is. It's the life that sets you free. It's not mine or yours. It's God's. See, and when you line yourself up with what God's truth is, then God's truth becomes your truth. Do you understand me? But if you're not living nothing, if you think that you can sit up and take bits and pieces from the Bible and mammy rig you a way of living and a lifestyle and it's okay, and wait a minute, I had a minister, not, oh, and by the way, that same minister that was a bishop, okay, that I just told you about in that workshop last week, I'm an archbishop. So he was insulted that I was an archbishop. Do you understand? So then he starts saying, well, maybe you have papers and maybe you don't. And maybe you are consecrated and maybe you aren't. And maybe this, this, and this. And see, this is, I'm going to show you how good God is. I'm going to show you how good God is. He made that statement publicly, flicking his hair and strutting around the place, as I said. And so after, I didn't say anything at that time. I sat there, smiled. I took it because there were no more bishops in the house. It was just three of us. It was Archbishop Williams, myself, and that so-called bishop, okay? So then when we got outside, Bishop came to me. She said, now, I thought I was taking, because we had to go on the road. We had to drive to this conference. And she said to me, I thought that this, that the reason we had to bring our credentials was in case that we were stopped by the police, because we have accommodations for our leadership conference from the governor stating that we do a good work, and from the mayor's office stating that we do a good work, and, you know, and our consecration papers for archbishop and bishop, and you know what I mean, just our credentials, okay? Not that we have to boast, that's not it, because we live that life. I don't have to make any concessions. I don't have to argue with you. I could care less what you think about me, okay? But we followed the Holy Spirit. That was the first time we ever took our credentials with us. Do you understand what I'm saying? Out of all these years of walking in this and all these years of being consecrated who we are, okay, that particular time was set aside for us to take our credentials, and we just thought it was because maybe we would get stopped and we needed to show somebody who we were, and that here's some numbers to call. We brought our address books as well, okay? So anyway, Holy Spirit said for Bishop Williams to go in the house, get the credentials, and take him to the minister who housed the convention, the conference, and give them to her. Do you know what she said to us? Okay, she has a deliverance ministry. She says, oh, no, I don't need to see this. This is not important. It's not important for us to see this. I said, but it was important for him to make that statement, you see, okay, defaming our character, saying that we were imposters, okay, and that we were not who we say we were. So I just want you to know, because you don't know us, okay, and the Lord had us to bring this for a reason, and the only thing I can see, because we didn't need him after we left, no, we were never stopped coming or going. Okay, so that was the only reason that we had to come there. So to bring those credentials, because the Lord already knew what his statement was going to be. Do you understand? So I need you to understand this, that whenever God tells you to do something, be obedient, because you never know what justification may be needed at what time. Okay, even though Christ didn't need anything, but we're not Christ. and we're still housed in these fleshly bodies dealing with this thing, and everybody thinks they've got a special spin on what it is that God is calling them to do. But Beelzebub cannot cast out Beelzebub, and we had an opportunity to cast out a demon, and after I cast that demon out, after I cast him out, they went back the very next day after we left. We got the report that same group of people went back and said that the demon was not cast out, and the man went back to the former state that he was in. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Because that's a fake. That was no deliverance ministry, nothing. That's a cult that people are bringing up. Cults. I mean, it's all over everywhere. Beware, my brothers and sisters. And I'm going to have to continue this at another time. But I want to close with this. Chapter 4 says, so then let us apostles be looked upon as ministering servants of Christ and stewards, trustees of the mysteries of the secret purposes of God. Moreover, it is essentially required of stewards that a man should be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust. See, we can't do this thing. We can't do what God has called us to do if we're not worthy of trust, my brothers and sisters. Trust is a factor, and it factors in every intricate part of our ministry. And if we cannot be trusted to do what God has called us to do and to be delivered ourselves, we have no business. See, there were others that laid hands on that man that needed deliverance. Do you understand that demon-possessed man that was crying out? I mean, he cried out, cried with tears that he wanted to be delivered from that demon. He openly stated he had a demon, okay? But what happened to that bishop? Do you know that bishop wouldn't sit down? He got ghosts when that man was needed that deliverance. That bishop got ghosts, and he sat back and looked. And I said, yes, indeed. And he sat there trying to crucify me before it was the appointed time to do what I came there to do, because I have experience in casting out demons. That was part of, before I could get a license, I had to do that. I had to demonstrate signs and wonders. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? I came from old school where you had to demonstrate that you were called of God, and you being a female, you really had to walk a straight and narrow. Do you hear what I'm saying? But he was persecuting me for the mere fact that I was female, for the mere fact that I was an archbishop. But yet, when the proof was in the pudding and it was his time to come forth and stand up and pray that demon off that man, he went and sat in his seat and observed. Okay? So will the real bishops stand up? Do you hear what I'm saying to you? You're going to be tried and tested. You're going to have to come forth like a mighty rushing wind. And the things that come out of your mouth, you're going to have to prove that signs and wonders follow you. And if you can't prove that and you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need to sit down and just minister to people one-on-one and tell them that, you know, that God is good and he's grateful and he's gracious and he can do all things, and just quote scriptures. That's what you need to do until you get filled with the Holy Ghost and walk with the power that it takes to have a ministry. I'm telling you, you've got to do this. You see what I'm saying? Because if you don't, you're going to be slaughtered. But that the bishop did have sense enough to know, don't get up, don't stand up there, okay, with no demon. Because that demon was talking. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I took off my shoes, okay, and I took off my holy shawl. And I took off every encumbrance that I had so that I couldn't get entangled if he decided to do something that he was not supposed to do, and I went and got my holy oil. And then I started praying over him, and I started speaking in tongues. And do you know the minister that was standing next to me told me, shut that down, shut that down. How the heck you going to tell me to shut down praying in tongues when I need the power of the Holy Ghost to do this work, because I can't do it within myself? I have nothing in me to do it. It's only the power of God that's anointed that comes upon me to do what he tells me to do when he tells me to do it. And you're going to shut that down? And guess what the minister told the demon to do? He said, laugh. He said, just laugh. He says, I just need you to laugh. Stand here and laugh. He didn't call him out. He just told him to laugh. What kind of foolishness is this? What kind of foolishness is this? And then I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. And he was just saying, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Yeah, the blood of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus over this thing. Anoint them and plead the blood of Jesus and call upon Jesus' name. But you got to be filled with something in order for something to come forth in Jesus' name. Well, it's another day, my brothers and sisters. And as you can see, I'm at it again. So I thank you for joining me, and I thank you for listening. Join me on tomorrow because I have the second part of this, because I've got some more scripture to give you, because we're sinking. The body is sinking, and it's thinking that's causing, and the fact that we are not living holy lives. Join me tomorrow. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for you, my brothers and sisters. Be encouraged, because I have something good to say to you again on tomorrow. Thanks for joining us for another day's journey, and I'm so glad about it. Make it count in Jesus' name.